Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, law offices of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is the 8th of November, 2012. We are in a community conference call, which is a public outreach and a public service from our office. By participating in this call, you do not become our clients, nor do we become your lawyers. This call is not intended to create an attorney-client relationship, merely an information outreach. So whatever questions you have, we answer to the best of our ability, and that's the end of it. This call is being recorded. Be mindful of that. It will be made publicly available. So if you do not wish that your voice should be recorded, don't speak. You can just listen. And if you want to conceal your identity, if you ask follow-up questions, that would be fine. You can call yourself Sam, Tom, Hari, whatever you please. Okay? That said, we have a few questions, I think about 18, 19 questions. That should take about 30, 35 minutes of my time, and then we'll have time for follow-up questions. I'm not sure how much time I'm going to have for new questions, but we'll try our best. Bear in mind that I have to stop at 1:30, maximum 1:35. Okay, that said, my first question today is from from Siley. Siley says, I have been with my current company for 6 years. I had I-140 approved from current employer as of August 2012. Priority date is Feb 2012, EB3 category. So I'm in 6th year of my H-1B, which is expiring in October 2013. I understand that H-1B renewal is only possible with an approved I-140. No, that's not true. That's not true. You can have H-1B extension beyond 6 years based upon two factors, either one of which is sufficient to get you an H-1 extension. One factor is if your labor cert perm application was filed 12 months ago, whether it is pending, approved, in appeal, as long as it is not denied and not appealed, you can get H-1 extension based upon a 12-month-old perm application. And the second is if your I-140 is approved. So either one of them would work. Your questions are, if I want to change my current company as soon as I can get a new one, I guess you mean a new company. Is it safe to change my company now? Well, I don't know what that question means. Is it safe? Too many variables for me to tell you what is safe and what is not. Legally, if you change companies after I-140 approval, unless the I-140 is revoked for fraud, current USCIS thinking is you will carry your priority date with you to the next job. The next employer will have to start green card all over again, but your priority date will remain the same as it was earlier, okay? But do bear in mind, if the old company revokes the I-140, even though the priority date should remain undisturbed, what would get disturbed is your right to extend H-1. So if you change companies without getting an H-1 extension with the new company, and the old company revokes the I-140, your PD doesn't go away. The priority date remains the same. But how do you get an H-1 extension? You've got nothing pending anymore. Okay? So would I suggest get a new H-1B approved from current company by end of next year, then look for a new job? Well, that's it. That's a personal decision. I'm not sure I have a preference either way. But what I would highly recommend is don't join the new company until their H-1 is approved. Technically, you can join the new company as soon as they file the H-1. Don't do that. File the H-1 with the new company premium processing and then join them. Number two, if I can change the company, how does the new company renew my H-1? Can they use old company's I-140? They can. Do they need to file theirs? They will have to file a new green card for you, but the H-1 extension for 3 years can be obtained based upon the old company's I-140 approval, and what I want you to do is to make sure you don't join them until the H-1 is actually approved. Can my old company revoke I-140? Sure. And I already told you what the risk with that is. PD remains yours, but you cannot get any further extensions. But by that time, when you join the new company, you would have started a new green card. Now you will have new grounds for getting H-1 extensions based upon the two factors I mentioned, either labor cert, new labor cert pending 12 months or new I-140 approved. Again, you asked me a question about the risks involved. I have no answer because there are just too many variables, the most important things I've mentioned to you. Three, if I get a job in April, May next year, when my H-1B is already filed for renewal by my current company, can the new company file another H-1 transfer? They can, as long as they file your H-1 before October 2013. So in other words, if you have an H-1 pending, an extension pending with the current company, and your current H-1 is not yet expired, during the time of that non-expiration, another company can also file for an H-1, no problem at all. Next question is from IMG or LMG, I can't tell, 7, L1 EAD to E1 EAD. So what is happening with them is that they have an L1B which is expiring and they are going to convert to an E1. What they want to know is it possible to apply for E1 status, E1 dependent, and dependent EAD altogether so that there's no interruption in EADs? And the answer is, I believe so. I think all of them can be applied at the same time. And as far as I know, you can apply as early as you like. There is no limit on how soon you can apply for E1. Because you're not asking for an L1 extension, so there's no limit on how soon you can apply. The earlier you apply, the better off you are. Okay. So, yeah, I understand your concern that you want your wife to have an uninterrupted EAD, and this might be the way to do it. Villay wants to know, IMH 007, H-1B is in the seventh year. Priority date is May 2005. H-1B approval is valid till May 2013 with employer A, no visa. I'm still working for company A. A filed EB3 labor I-140 in 2005 and got approved. I-485 was filed in 2007 and is currently pending. You've got your EAD and AP. Wife joined later, came on H-4. You couldn't file her 485 because EB-3 was not current. Then another employer filed EB-2 labor in I-140. That got approved. Based upon that, you filed, you have the priority date of 2005. You filed wife's 485. She got her EAD and AP. So the question is, if the second employer revokes the I-140 EB-2 filing, what happens to my current EB-3 case? It's a very strange situation. Your I-140 485 should remain pending without any disturbance. Your I-140 and 485 should remain pending. But your wife's I-140, wife's 485 could be in trouble because her 485 was filed based upon the EB2 case. That's the way I see it. Okay. So overall, there is no impact on your green card, but there's an impact on her 485. What is the best approach? I think your current employer, if they can, should also file an EB2 based 485 for you. In that case, by the time the USCIS gets to revoking your wife's 485, you would probably be quite advanced in your own EB2 I-140 or towards that. So that appears to be the best thing for me to, for you to do. Go ahead and start another EB2 perm-based case than I-140. Next question is from Rajesh SR. H-1B transfer never worked on H-1. He's currently in India, and he has an approved H-1B through a consulting company A, which was approved in May 2012, start date of October 2012. No H-1B stamping was obtained. The project was taken away, so he did not travel on H-1B. Question, can I file a new H-1B from another company and would it be cap exempt? The answer is yes, it will be cap exempt, even if you have never traveled to USA, because USCIS has interpreted something called the remainder option, which says people like you who have an earlier H-1 approval, and I think even if you never joined that employer, you have that approval, they can choose to take the time remaining on their H-1, subtracting from it the time already taken away. So October 1st to 2012 to now, about a year you would lose. Why a year? Not even a year. A few months you would lose. Other than that, there is no big deal. You still have 5.5 years of H-1 left. So I don't think it should be a problem filing an H-1 for you. Next question is from R.A. Polu. Change current employer after I-140 approved in EB-2. I have completed I-140 with my current employer under EB-2. Now I'm planning to change the employer. Shall I change my current employer? Well, that's up to you. If I change, can I use my PD? Yes, you can. I just discussed that issue. If my current employer revokes my H-1 and I-140, will it be a problem for me in the green card process? You see, it's very important, like I said earlier, that you join the new employer only after they have obtained an H-1 for you successfully. After that, if the I-140 is revoked by the old employer, we know that you are going to keep your priority date, and the H-1 extension once given will not be taken away. So then, when you start a new green card with the new employer, that will become the basis for further H-1 extensions. Do you need to go with the same lawyer? Oh, no, no, that's your choice. You can change lawyers. And you have a copy of your approved I-140. That's all you really need. So, yeah, you can change employers if that's what lawyers if you so wish. Praveen wants to know EAD L2 to H-1B status change. I am on EAD through my spouse's employer, which is valid till Feb. So I take it your wife filed. Oh, it is an L2 based EAD, I guess. Okay. My current employer applied an H-1B in this year with a client letter from Company B. There was an RFE. Now, Company B also wants to offer you this job as a full-time job. You also have an approved H-1 dated 2008 to another company C, which you haven't used. You have never worked for that company. What I heard from another attorney is that I can file a new H-1B using this 797B approval to be eligible for out-of-quota H-1B application. That seems plausible. That seems reasonable. But I don't know how long you were outside USA. Look into the remainder option. So that's the phrase you want to look into. Are you eligible for remainder option? And if so, how much time you would have? So your questions are, let us say my current employer, which is Company A, their H-1B application response is delayed. Can I still work under current job because my EAD is expired, but my H-1B application response is not known? The answer is no. If you do not have an EAD, you cannot work. Just because H-1B is pending and you are going from L2 to H-1, you cannot continue to work after the EAD expiration. Company B wants to hire me. It's waiting for H-1B approval and do an H-1B transfer. Can Company B apply for new H-1B without considering that it has given client letter to Company A? Sure, why not? Even though Company B is your end client, if they want to hire you directly and skip Company A altogether, immigration law would have no problem with that. Okay. Since now H-1B quota is over, can company B apply for new H-1B with the old approval? It may be possible. A lawyer has to look at the facts of your case, have them go over your history, and it may be possible for you to be exempt from quota, yes. Okay? I don't think I missed anything. Do I have a better chance of staying in employment with company B? I don't know who has a better chance. That depends upon what the RFE was, how it is being responded. But why can't you have two cases going on at the same time? Go for it. Ilalu wants to know, they have a sibling, a sister who was legally adopted by relatives. Can we sponsor her as sister? And the answer is probably not. Probably not. There may be a loophole somewhere, but without looking at the law in detail, just relying on my legal common sense, I would say no, because technically, once somebody gets adopted, they become a part of the new family and their ties with the old family are extinguished. So I don't see how you can apply for her. The best thing to do for you, what I would suggest is contact your congressman's office. Instead of hiring somebody like us or a lawyer who will charge you a few hundred or a few thousand dollars to do the research for you, contact your congressman's office. And we have a video on my blog on how to contact your congressman's office. Tell them that you want this information, and they should be able to find you the information without you having to spend any money at all. Okay? Next question is from Bala. Bala says there's a time period in his employment history where he was on bench, so he has an overlap in two jobs for 1 week. I don't think that's a big deal. From 11th and 15th January, company A is not willing to change. See, as long as you tell the truth and you explain the reasons or the way, the reason for the way you are handling things a certain way, I don't see any problem with Bala. Talk with your lawyers if I'm missing something. But just because some employment letters show an overlap because you were on bench, technically you're not allowed to be on bench, but that's not your fault. That should not interfere with your perm application. Okay? So as long as there's an explanation for it, but just make sure that on the 9089, you put in the correct information. So even if the employment letters have discrepancies, 9089 should be picture perfect, and that should take care of it. SG22 wants to know, what is this PIMS business? So if he goes for a visa stamping, how do we confirm that PIMS is updated? PIMS is Petition Information Management Service. So for O, I believe P and Q, H for sure. These type of visas, the way it works is, when we file your case, we include a complete copy of the case to be sent over to the consulate. It doesn't get sent directly to the consulate. It goes to Kentucky Consular Center, KCC, who then enters your information and scans your package into PIMS database, which is then accessible to all consulates. Okay? So PIMS is a database that maintains information and copies of your H-1B filing. this used to be an issue. I have never, in the last year or so, seen this become an issue. In the beginning, when they implemented PIMS, it used to become problematic. People didn't know about it. They could get delayed. But it's been quite streamlined as far as I know. I have not heard of a client having any problem with PIMS updation. What you want to check, what you can do is, you can send an email to the consulate before you go for the stamping and tell them that you're coming in for a stamping on XYZ date and you want to confirm that they have your PIMS information already. What they do is, if they don't have the information, the internal procedure is for them to send an email to KCC, did I say Kentucky consular center in Kentucky, and KCC will then send them information back about the PIMS, whatever the optician has or has not been done, in case they don't already have that information. So you can find out that way, okay? Next question is Sunil JK. They want to know about how much time they have left on H1. Okay, I can't really read all through all this facts, but let me just, it's not too many, but I'll just, let me just tell you the bottom line rules. Any time that you spend in USA on L1 or H1 goes towards your H1. It is counted. Any time you spend on L2 or H4 is not counted. If you're outside USA for 1 year, the entire H1 clock is reset. Okay. So your initial entry was May 2010, and you were here till September 2010, two years and some odd months. Then you went back in September 2012, came right back. So you've got about 3.5, 4 years, something like that. Okay. If I apply for fresh H-1B in April 2013, will I be eligible for a six-year period? No, it's about four and a half-year period, something like that. That's what it looks like to me. Mohit Jain wants to know, I'm an Indian citizen with no education in USA or Canada. I'm living in Canada for the past 5-6 months. I have work permit in Canada. Now my H-1B is approved. Can I go to U.S. consulate in Canada for stamping? Oh, yes, you can. Absolutely. It's your right. If you are living legally in Canada, which you are, it is your right to go for stamping in Canada. So don't worry. Even if it's your first stamping, even if they don't have, you don't have degrees from Canada or USA, it is your right to go to the U.S. consulate in Canada. ZMMD10 wants to know about green card sponsorship. I'm an Indian citizen working in Canada, immigrant of Canada. Will get my Canadian citizenship in another year. I used to study and work in USA and then moved to Canada in 2008. Sister is a U.S. citizen. One of our potential clients was also asking questions about this today, and I told him I'll record the answer in today's conference call so he can listen in. So the question is, my sister is a U.S. citizen, and she wants to file for my green card. If I come in on a tourist visa or any other visa, TN, H1, and they file for my green card, my sister does, can I live and stay in USA? That's what our client was asking, and the answer is no, because you can only live and stay in USA on the strength of a green card filing if your priority date is current and 485 has been applied. Your priority date won't be current for 11, 12, 13 years. So therefore, just because I-130 has been filed, green card has been filed, you cannot stay in USA. In fact, it would become a problem for you, or it could become a problem for you, to get visas like B2, F1, J1, TN, if your green card is pending. Should I wait till my Canadian passport before applying for a green card? Makes no difference. By the way, TN would be a problem if the green card is applied, but H1 will not be. Will you have 65K cap issue? You're subject to the cap. That doesn't change. If my sister files for my green card now, in the future, if I have a family, can they be added? Oh, yes. Absolutely. No problem at all. Jiva wants to know validity of previously used H-1B. He was working in U.S. from 2008 to 2010, then went back to India for 2 years, came back in May 2012 on H-4. Again, the same issue. Remainder option. See, I think that you could ask to be exempt. Again, I would have to look at the memo, the remainder option memo carefully. I think a good argument can be made. Okay, so I have used 2 years of my H1. I will take only four more. Give me the 4 years remaining and take me out of the quota. Okay. So you can either do that, or you can either wait for the April-October cycle and get 6 years of H1. That's your choice. NVK wants to know what is the right time to apply for a green card. He's got a bachelor's with 4 years of experience. Now, should he wait for 5 years and then file under EB2 or do it now? Well, this is the way I would do it. I would file for EB3 now, get it approved, and then when the time is right and the employer has another job, which is an EB2 type job, file EB2 again and transfer the priority date from the old to the new case. That way, you get the priority date of the EB3 case, but you're in EB2. Okay. So, is this the right time to process my green card? Go for it, but do it under EB3, and you can do EB2 later. Fever TXYZ. In Feb 2011, three employers filed for my H1B. All three got approved. So they have three H-1B approvals. Employer B filed for GC, EB-2, and I-140 in process for 86 days. Now employer B has terminated me. My question is, can I start working for company A? This is very tricky. Because technically, if an employer does not hire you after the H-1B approval, they are required to revoke the H-1. If you had asked this question about 6 years ago, I would have said, without a doubt, you can join any employer. But now, the USCIS thinking has become, or they have come to the conclusion, that every employer who does not employ the H-1B approved individual are required to revoke the H-1. There are some arguments against that as well. There is an argument that would say, well, if the employee says, for my personal reasons, I can't join you, can I not give them an unpaid leave of absence? The answer is yes, you can. So it's a very difficult question for me to answer. I really cannot give you a definitive answer whether the H-1s continue to be valid even if you didn't join them. This is something, I think the practical solution is to call USCIS, get their answer, and note it down. If they say yes, you can go ahead and join, note it down, and then join. If they say no, you cannot, I think you'll have to start another H-1. Okay? RK, this is the last question in my current roster. EB3, EB2 priority date advantage. I'm working as a mechanical engineer on EAD. 45 pending since 2007. EB3 priority date is 2003. Wife, senior Java developer. She is on I-485 as a derivative. Then her EB2 I-140 got approved in May 2006. So is there any way we can use to take advantage of my wife's approved I-140 EB2? No. You cannot transfer your priority date to her, nor can you transfer her EB2 to your EB3. Okay. Is there any way we can link my wife's I-140 to my pending and backlogged I-485? See, you can't transfer the priority dates. But if you want to link both 485s to her I-140 and her priority date, you can do that. You can call USCIS and request to do that. That's allowed. Okay? Well, I'm finished. I had expected that I would take about 30, 35 minutes for these questions, and that's all it took. I'm happy to report. Now, let us take questions from people who have already posted. So if you have already posted and you want me to address something other than what I just did on your posted question, press 5-star. 5-star on your phone. Press 5-star. Any follow-up questions, 5-star. I have 2, 3. Three questions. Okay. I will take them in the order they called in for. Again, I'm not taking new questions right now. Just follow-ups on posted questions first. Okay. So we've got five. Area code 630. Go ahead, please. One second. I just unmuted you. Area code 630, can you hear me?
Yes, this is Lakshmi.
One second. Let me put you on the speaker. Just one second. Go ahead with your question, please.
My question is regarding EB3, EB2 priority date advantage.
Right, the last question.
Actually, my husband 485 is pending, and I am also derivative of that.
I have your facts. You don't need to repeat them. I see them in front of me.
Right now, like on EB2, I have my approved I-140, but my 485 is not filed separately. So how can I call USCIS and
USCIS will attach a 485 to any I-140. Okay? My only concern is your priority date must be current. If your priority date under EB2 is current, they should be able to transfer your pending 485 to your I-140.
Oh, okay.
Even though the pending 485 is a derivative, it is my understanding they have started doing that a couple of years ago. They decided they did not want to restrict 485, so they have been doing that. You can double check on the process. I'm sure all it takes is a letter and some follow up.
Okay. In fact, my priority date is current a couple of months back, but we don't know how to approach, so we did not.
I just told you. Get your lawyer. If you don't have a lawyer, get yourself a lawyer. Let them follow up with the USCIS. They should be able to get it done.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I have, let's just double check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people. Area code 678, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Rajiv, this is Siley again. This is the first question. And I think I put a lot of confusing questions around there. My question right now is, if I change a company now, okay, I'll have to first get the H-1B transferred. I cannot apply for extension right now because I'll have to wait till April, right, for filing an extension? Right. So right now if I get a H-1B transfer and then when April comes, if my 140 is revoked.
One second. Give it a pause. Why do you have to wait till April?
I just thought like H-1B can be extended only once this period is over and when April starts. I mean, I don't know when H-1B extension can be filed in your sixth year.
Your H-1B extension can be filed 6 months ahead of your H-1 expiration.
Right, which is October 2013.
Your H-1 is expiring in October 2013, is that what it is?
Right.
So that means, yes, you are right, you can apply for an extension in April 2013. But if you wanted to change jobs now, you could, I believe this is true, you could apply for an H-1B transfer and extension at the same time, even before April.
Okay.
Double check that. But I believe that you should be able to get 3 years if you change employers and you're applying for transfer and extension at the same time. I have a little confusion on this issue, but I believe that's the way it would work.
Okay. So, and if it's not that way, then I'll just have to go to the new company, get the H-1B transferred there, and then have them start the 140 process, right, the perm process again.
Tell me 1 second. You've got the order wrong. Don't go to the new company, then file the H-1. First, file the H-1, get the H-1 approved, then join the new company.
H-1 approved, you mean transfer approved, right?
Transfer approved, yes.
Okay, okay.
Don't join the new company until the transfer is approved.
Okay. And then when you say either 140 approved or labor certification pending, by labor certification pending, you mean the stage before 140, right, where they are, they've just started the...
Yeah, when I say pending, it doesn't mean it could even be approved or it could be denied and be under appeal. The fact that
it was
filed a year ago, that's what determines.
Okay. That clears my question.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on to area code 630. 630.
Hello. My name is Raju. I'm about the last question. In fact, my wife talked to you.
Oh, so husband and wife are taking turns, huh?
Yeah. Actually,
speak up a little bit. I can barely hear you.
Okay. About my question, my wife 140 is approved in EB2 long ago. Now my wife is not with the company A, she is with company B. Still,
That makes it a lot more trickier. Because in order for her to now claim the benefit of AC 20, she'll have to claim the benefit of AC 21. Otherwise, she can't file her own 485 because she's not with the sponsoring company.
Right.
So that's a lot more complicated. I'm not sure that's available.
Oh,
I would argue that her 485 is pending. That's all the law should require. But the government could take the position that her 485 was not filed as a primary, so she should not be given AC-21. It doesn't hurt to try, Raju, but it's definitely more complicated if she's not applying through the sponsoring employer.
Oh, okay. What is the best approach to call your CSR going through the...
I would say get yourself a lawyer. This is too messy. I don't think it's a good idea for you to handle it yourself.
Oh, okay. So approach through the lawyer then.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I go on? Any other questions?
That's all. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, sir. Okay. Let's go on to area code 905. 905, go ahead, please.
Hi. I had the question about my sister who wants to sponsor me. She's a U.S. citizen. Basically, what I'm trying to assess is what's the risk if she sponsors my green card now versus, say, 2 years down the road, I decide to work in the U.S. on an H-1B. Can I still file for a green card, or would I be able to basically work in the U.S.? And if so, would I be able to file for a green card at that point because it might be faster with an employer versus a sibling?
I don't like the idea of filing because it takes away the security of a TN.
Okay.
So therefore, I would rather just wait, get my Canadian citizenship, come in on TN.
Okay. And then apply for the green card through the employer later.
Like most people do.
Okay.
Actually, TN... don't apply for normally green card. They convert to H-1, then apply for green card. Or somewhere in the process, they convert to H-1. Once you convert to H-1, then you can have your sister also file. You can have more than one green card going at the same time.
Oh, you can?
You can have 10 categories going on at the same time, no problem.
And I guess whichever one comes first is where you...
Yeah, you don't get multiple green cards. You can only get one.
Okay. So I guess my question is if she were to apply now and, say, down the road if I decide to work in the U.S., can I still get a work visa to come to the U.S.?
You can only get an H-1 with any degree of comfort. TN could become unavailable. Could. I mean, it's not sure. But if somebody's green card is pending, they may not get a TN.
Okay. And for siblings, it's 12, 13 years, I think is what you said, the waiting period?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. Okay, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. I am going on to Hurricane Sandy neighborhood. Area code 732, go ahead, please.
Hello. My question is not posted, so I can go last.
Your question is not posted. I'm going to ask you to wait.
Okay.
Let me get all the other people first. Another one from Hurricane Sandy neighborhood, area code 210.
Hi Rajiv, this is Fibrity XYZ. As I have already mentioned that employer B has terminated me, it basically means that I have 2 to 3 weeks or 2 weeks to find something. So what is the best way that I can start working for employer A? As I mentioned, they have not revoked my H1. So can an amendment work out, or
I think you should have your employer's lawyers call USCIS.
Okay.
And have the whole situation explained.
Okay.
If they tell you that you can start working, then of course you are in good shape. Even if that advice is incorrect, at least it's been given by the government. It gives you some protection.
Right. So can I, let's say I go to out of US, and use that same 797 and I-94 to get back into U.S., would that work, or it has to be talked with USCIS? That's the only option.
You have a visa stamping on your passport?
No, I have not gone out of U.S., so I do not have a visa stamping on H-1 visa stamping. I do not have that on my passport.
If you go outside USA, you'll have to get visa stamped.
Right. And can I use this I-797, the new employer who already
has? I think so. I am not sure that does a whole lot more to improve your situation, but it certainly doesn't hurt, and it may be fractionally better. But I would start by calling USCIS, really.
Okay. And the other question that I have is on it is not posted here, but then the question is, if 140 is in process or GC in process, if the salaries fluctuate, I work at, let's say, 85 and then move lower to 75 and then, let's say, lower to 60, does that affect the GC process?
That's a very difficult question to answer.
Okay.
That's a complete issue by itself. If you are working for the same employer who filed the I-140 or who's sponsoring your green card, and their salaries fluctuate, there can be a problem.
Changing employers, and that's the reason salaries fluctuate.
Right. Well, if you are changing employer after I-140 approval, all you are carrying forward is your priority date, correct?
Right.
Fluctuation in salaries will not affect priority date at all.
Okay. All right. So that is your best take on, because I do not have much time, 2 to 3 weeks. So in that time, your best take would be talk to USCIS and get their opinion, and then based on their opinion, either. So let's say if nothing works, then the employer has to file a new H-1B for me?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks, Rajiv. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Okay, guys, we are done with all the posted questions. Anybody has any questions, press 5-star. Any new questions, old questions, comments, anything. And I'm going to take you in the order you called in. So right now I have two. Area code 210, did you just switch yourself off? I think you did. So I have two questions right now, one from area code 310, one from 972. If anybody has any other questions, press 5-star on your phone, please. Okay. Now I have three. Okay. Let's start with area code 310. You logged in at 1208. So we have 5 questions. Go ahead. 310, please go ahead. Okay, let me try again. Area code 310.
Yes. Can you hear me, Rajiv?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I had posted my question in the K-1 visa section regarding the visa denial, citing the 214B as one of the reasons that, and my problem.
Hang on one second. Let me clarify something. monitor the forums. I only monitor the questions posted in our community conference calls forum. Okay.
Right.
So you may have to give me all the facts. So there's a 215 denial, which is basically immigrant intent. Okay. So go ahead.
Right. Basically, I have a 30 years relationship with this person, and we have photographs, emails, and everything. But still, first of all, the counselor who was there, he was an Indian guy and was kind of rude. And the other thing was he was saying that, I know you have, you know each other for the last 30 years, but how can you have to prove me that there's a romantic relationship between you both for me to even approve you? And then they wanted, I'm sorry?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you talking about a J-1 or a K-1?
K-1 visa.
K as in kite.
Yes, sir. Fiancé visa.
Yeah. Okay, now that makes sense. Okay, so he wants you to have a romantic relationship. Okay, that's nonsense. Keep going.
He wants me to prove it, that, you know, I have a romantic relationship. He says, I know that you know each other for the last 30 years because we have photographed since 1982. We have photographed this family together and all that stuff. And then he wants parents' view on our engagement as to what do the parents think, you know, and it just doesn't make sense, the things they are asking me, but I'm still putting everything together, statements from the parents, from me, from her, they're sending it to them, but what can I do, I mean, when they do this and deny it on the 214B?
I think you should get yourself a lawyer. I don't think this is something you should be handling yourself. This garbage about parents' view, I have seen that in another notice I saw yesterday. This was in relation to somebody's green card. So they've started asking this very odd question about parents' view. I failed to see the relevance of it. And what lawyers can do is basically make sure that your answers are presented in a way least likely to create more issues. And also, if these guys are going to give you trouble, they can escalate the case to the National Visa Office in Washington, D.C. Because even though consulates have a lot of latitude in what they do, they are not kings. They are still answerable to higher-ups if they go way out of line. Okay?
Right.
So
can a congressman help me in this?
Not a bad idea. You can certainly involve them, but ultimately, if you have to give statements, someone should review those statements just to make sure nothing is being said, which you are saying innocently, but they can create a big problem out of it.
Right.
Okay.
And basically, his point was that why were you taking care of his parents and why you started a romantic relationship as of 2000? I mean, I could have known the person for some time, but there may not be any romantic relationship. And then finally, at some point, because of a behavior, you know, you can get romantically involved and then wait for some time to decide to get married and do an engagement this year. And now I'm applying, and this is the problem.
I know at least two people in my own family who dated their spouses for 10-plus years before they got married. Since when has that become illegal? I won't worry about that too much.
Okay, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, I have 4 questions. Only 4 questions, 4 people who've raised their hands. That's all I'll be doing. Then we'll finish this call and we'll meet again in 2 weeks. Hurricane Sandy, area code 732, go ahead, please.
Hello, my 485 is pending more than 180 days. I am beyond my 6 year on my H-1B. I have 3 years extension. I have EAD. Can I work with different employer with H-1 transfer, not using EAD, but continue to get H-1 and EAD extensions without filing new green card?
Okay. So what you're asking me is, can I use AC-21 to change employers and join the employer on H-1? Yes, you can.
Yes. Yes.
You can.
And can I get H-1 extensions every 3 years thereafter, and also every EAD and advanced payroll extensions based upon the previous application?
Yes, sir, you can and you should. No question about it. No problem.
And only EC21 application needs to be filed. No new 140, 485, nothing.
It should not, no, sir. As long as the jobs are same or similar, that's all you need, an EC21.
And if the salary difference is significant, say, good amount of increase, will it matter?
You need a lawyer to take a look at it. This is not something
lightly.
It's
okay.
An important thing, it's an important benefit. Get your lawyers to take a look at it. According to, actually read the Yates memorandum from May 2005. The 5-5 memo from Yates talks a lot about things like, you know, what if the salaries are different? And he said, if the salaries are too different, it could be a problem. But, you know, with if the green card was filed many years ago, of course you're going to get some raises. So it depends. You know, have a lawyer look at it. Don't just make a guess on it. Okay,
thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, two more questions. Area code 210. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Fivriti again. I think you have answered the question, but no, I am framing it in a different way. Let's say if someone has revoked the H-1, the employer, and no, I have not worked for him, and the H-1 797 I-94 is still valid for him, then what does the employer need to do so that I can start working for him again? I mean, I can start working
for
him.
Still the same. You can ask me that question in 15 different ways.
Okay.
The answer is still the same. I have no variation to the answer. Same.
Oh, okay. 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 All right. Thanks, Raji.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Last question of the day, area code 972. Go ahead, please.
Hi. This is regarding my sister. Her I-140 is like, got approved with an adjustment of status within the U.S., but then later she left to India when the I-140 was pending, actually. And when she was in India, the I-140 got approved. So, and then when the priority date became current, she applied for consular processing through her employer. So now it has like the DCS, Texas Service Center has, I think they are working on May or something, but this case was filed in Jan. So the employer requested for put a service request, and USCIS has sent a letter stating that it is under administrative review, and it will take another 6 months, and they can only approach after 6 months. So what do you think, like, the employer can do to expedite the process?
Let me ask this question. What is pending with USCIS? Is it an I-824?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I-824 should not take that long. Not sure what's going on. Have the employer...
Actually, there was one issue in that. Like, I don't know whether I can discuss it, but the issue was, like, I think... I mean, we are not sure exactly, but she applied for a B2 visa in before she applied for I-824, and that was, like, she got the visa, but then after 2 days... her cousin, sent some letter to the consulate stating about her all employment history and blah, blah, blah. Actually, she knows all that. She copied it from her computer, and she misused that, and somehow she sent the letter to the consulate, and consulate came up with asking her to come back again after issuing the visa. Again, she went to the consulate, and then after the complete day interview, they stated that they're canceling the visa and as a potential immigrant, and they have taken some sworn statement from her, which she gave, that she hasn't done anything. So, but then somehow, we don't know, what exactly went wrong, because of which, the I-24 is still pending.
Well, that has nothing to do with the I-824.
Okay.
Okay, now the worst case scenario is that the consulate could claim that she has committed fraud or misrepresentation.
Yeah, that's what they are thinking, I guess. Can anything will be done? Can we ask the cousin, like, who did it, like, to go to the consulate and explain? Because she's saying right now that I'm sorry for whatever I have done, and, you know, those kind of statements.
No,
I was jealous with you, blah, blah, blah.
Sorry doesn't do anything. If you have
okay. If
you have a misrepresentation, just saying you're sorry doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if there is no misrepresentation, or at least there is no material misrepresentation, then definitely the case can be handled. The consulate needs to be told exactly what happened, and she would be fine. But in any case, I-824 should not be stopped because of that.
Okay.
Not that I can think how they would do that. So
okay.
What you can do is, first of all, follow through with the I-824. I would say even the employer can contact the congressman or the ombudsman's office. See if they can get this I-824 rolling. In the meantime, you do need to take an appointment with a lawyer and go over exactly what the problem with the consular decision was. Why did they revoke her B2? Are they alleging any kind of misrepresentation? If they are, now is the time to get started on fighting that.
Okay.
So,
because they told, it seems to her, at the consulate when they have rejected, stating that we are not doing anything on your, I mean, based on the statement, but it is only like a potential immigrant, we are canceling it. And you can reapply for the B2 if you want in the future.
That's just a 214B denial. That's not a problem at all.
Okay.
The problem is when there's a 12 denial based upon fraud or misrepresentation.
Okay.
So don't worry if it's just an intended immigrant. That's a small problem.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you. So do you still want us to go and check with the consulate?
I think you should just have a consultation anyway, and at the same time follow through on the 824. That should not take this long.
Okay, can the attorney do anything like talk to USCIS or go to the local office?
Lawyers cannot do much. This part, ombudsman or a congressman can do better.
A congressman and another person, what did he say? Sorry?
Ombudsman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good talking with all of you folks. I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.